Blog Talk Radio.
Say Shit, the off-season version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast, on a Wednesday night, March 26, 2014. I'm Dre, he's Jay, and the guys that brought you a couple of shitty brackets last week are now about to break down baseball. Oh boy, get ready. It's the IMLD Baseball 2014 preview, only the way that we can do it, which is to say we really don't know how we're going to do it. So, ready to go?
Yeah, always. Let me just start by saying a little hallelujah for the fact that we have almost made it through the wasteland that is February and March sports. I know you and I both just dread that period between the Super Bowl and the start of the baseball season, and I don't count those games that happened in Australia. I don't even know what happened in those games. So, be it to say, yeah, this is a baseball preview, and I don't even know what happened in those two games that were played over in Australia, because you can't make it any more meaningless than to play the games so far before the season starts. And it's almost not even fair. It's like everybody else is still playing spring training, and we're making final roster cuts, and we've already had two real games played. So, as far as I'm concerned, don't even count them. In my mind, hopefully that division doesn't come down to a game or two. Somebody's going to be looking back and going, oh, if we just would have won those games in Australia. But I'm glad for some real baseball here. But let's get this thing going.
You know, what's interesting is that I don't know how long Clayton Kershaw is going to be out, but it just came out that he's got a back thing and he's going to miss what would be his next start or his – you know, you could call it the opening starter. I don't know how you would refer to it, but Sunday night when the Dodgers have yet another season opening, it almost feels like they're starting a second season when they play Sunday night. But Kershaw was going to make that start, and he's not going to be able to go because he's got a back thing. Now, who knows how much of that was brought on by having to go to Australia and pitch and then get back on the plane and all of that stuff that, you know, maybe he wasn't quite ready. You know, pitchers aren't necessarily ready to pitch that early in the spring. So maybe he just threw everything off all around, and that might have been how he hurt his back. So it might have an adverse effect on the season altogether. I'm with you. I don't have any use for it. It's for the birds. I love baseball. I didn't watch a second. I know what happened. I know the Dodgers won both games, but I didn't watch any bit of that baseball because it was one of the games started at like 3 or 4 in the morning, so obviously I wasn't going to do that. And the other one was last Saturday at 9 o'clock Central Time. And I wasn't interested. I was too busy watching my brackets go to hell. So I never did turn it on. So, yeah, I don't have any use for it either.
Yeah, that's another genius scheduling coup there for Major League Baseball. Let's plan the opening international series of baseball right in the middle of March Madness. They would have been better off having those games on a Tuesday and a Wednesday versus let's play these games right in the middle of everyone's bracket. And unless you were a fan of the teams that were playing over in Australia, nobody gave a shit.
No. That's what they were doing back when they had those Japan games, right? I know they had to be in the middle of the week because, like I said, given my gambling story last week, I had to go to work. So I was listening to that game on the radio as I went into work that morning. So they used to do it in the middle of the week, so they must have moved it. I don't know why. I don't know what the rationale behind all of it was. But like I said, I wasn't interested. You weren't interested. And I don't think anyone else was either. Something that people might have been interested in is updating our brackets because we had a couple of interesting days there when the big dance started last week, the college basketball tournament. For anyone that didn't follow on Twitter, I was going crazy that first day because I was talking about my perfect day. Yes, I had a perfect 16-0 first day of the tournament. And I was talking about the $1 billion from Warren Buffett, and I was feeling my oats, and I was getting tweeted from Dove Men Plus Care out of the blue, you know, giving me props and making graphics with my name in it and talking about how great I was doing. And then the next day started, and Duke happened. I've always hated Duke. So that's my fault for picking Duke, and that ruined my bracket. And the funny part is now, once the Duke thing happened, the rest of the bracket just completely fell to total shit. I have two teams out of the Final Four after the weekend was said and done. And, Jason, you have one finalist eliminated completely. You had Villanova in the finals, and they're out. And you have three of your Final Four teams already eliminated. So whatever good we might have been feeling after the first day, once the weekend was over, we could forget about the $1 billion. We could forget about any kind of pride. Now we're just slugging it out with each other, just trying to salvage a little bit of pride. I've got 35 correct picks to your 32, and through their little point system, I've got 41 points to your 39. So I've got a slight advantage on you, but it started out so beautiful, and kind of like my relationships. It started so well, and then by the end, it was just complete shit.
It probably would help if I watched some college basketball. I may have to make it a point next year to watch 10 minutes of college basketball, 15. Might help me get a couple more picks in the bracket. But, yeah, it was a little disappointing. It was at least, you know, you pick the bracket and you don't have any rooting interest in any of these teams, but you have them in your bracket. So it becomes interesting. It's like picking the football games for us, you know. Nobody gives a crap about the Browns playing the Bucks, but, hey, I've got the Browns plus +4, so damn it, I'm now a Bucks fan, you know, a Browns fan or Bucks. It's just, it made it more fun. Otherwise, that's something else I could just not give two craps about. So I hope you get the win. I hope you get the win. You watch more college basketball than I do, and you need something after the beatdown from the football season. So you need to feel good about something. So I'm hoping you get this one.
I need something to rinse the taste out of my mouth of what the Denver Broncos did after I picked them to win the Super Bowl, because that was just the worst. So, yes, I do need that. Stay tuned after the show to hear me go on a little bit of a rant that's tangentially related to college basketball, but not really. And to hear that, you would have to subscribe to the show, which you can do at iTunes. Just search for In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Or you can listen to the show on archive after the show is over. I think it takes maybe an hour, maybe not even that long, for it to go into our archive on our show page right here live at blogtalkradio.com/InMuchLessDetail. And now on to our baseball preview, which, like I said, we don't know how we're going to do this. But here's the thing about trying to, like, predict the playoff teams and the world champion and all that stuff. As I was telling you, Jason, before we went on the air, baseball is so different to basketball and football in that these whatever team is there at the end of the year is not – there's a chance it's not going to look anything like it looks right now because of free agent pickups, because of guys getting cut and picked up later in the season, because of minor league call-ups in the middle of the season, because of trades that happened at the trade deadline. You know, you can say Boston and Detroit and Oakland in the American League, but really, what's the chances that those teams are going to look exactly like they look right now today? A.J. Pierzynski might be a complete flame-out at catcher for Boston. They might go with somebody else. They might make a trade. Detroit's got to go find a new shortstop because their hot shot Jose Iglesias hurt himself. Whoever they pick up to do that might be a washout. They might have to go get somebody else. Teams look so different towards the end of the year than what they look like right now. It's almost useless to actually predict who you think is going to make the playoffs and who you think is going to win the title. So this might wind up flowing more like a sort of free-form, freestyle, just who we like, who's good, who's bad, who's going to be entertaining to watch, and who's not. So with that, Jason, to give us a little bit of a jumping-off point, I'll ask you, who you think right now would be the best team in Major League Baseball and who you think would be the worst?
If I have to say the best team in the entire league, this is a tough one for me. You know more than the folks who listen to our show know that even though I am a diehard, lifelong Chicago Cubs fan, you'd think I'd know more about the National League than I do the American League, but I don't. Because I'm not invested in the National League like I am in the American League, being in an AL-only rotisserie league, which I've been for 13, 14 years now. Just, I'm feeling old now that I know I've been doing that for that long. So clearly, I have a lot more focus on that league. But I looked, you know, I before the show, I went through, tried to refamiliarize myself a little bit with the National League, and the National League is so muddled to me. Just not a lot of differences between the teams. You have a lot of horrible teams, I will say that, in the National League. You have lots of really bad teams, and that's where it all comes in, is being muddled with very few good teams. So that being said, if I had to pick the best team in the league, doesn't necessarily think this is the team I think is going to win it all, because I actually don't. Because they do tend to choke in the playoffs, is the Detroit Tigers. I think they have the best pitching, but again, they have that pitching that just doesn't seem to quite carry them over the hump when you get to the playoff time. I don't know what's wrong with Verlander and these guys. I mean, the Tigers lost an entire World Series because they couldn't field bunts by their, you know, their pitchers couldn't field bunts. I mean, seriously, the strategy, I believe it was the Cardinals, right? I believe the strategy of the team was, let's just bunt it to the pitcher and watch him throw the ball up the right field line. But on paper, I have to say, it's a stacked lineup. I don't think it's the most stacked lineup. I think if they're healthy, I think Anaheim is going to put up a ton of runs this year. But they have very suspect pitching. So best team by far is Detroit. Worst team. This is, you know, it's easy to say Houston is the worst team in the league. It's easy to pick out Miami, Cubs. There's just a lot of bad teams. Although I think the Cubs are going to be, they'll definitely be better than their 66 wins from last year. But that's a team that's rebuilding. That's a team that'll be fun to watch, but won't win a lot of games. Worst team in the league though. It's so sad, but it's got to be the easy choice. I still have to go with Houston. I don't even know what the plan is in Houston. I don't even know what they're trying to do. So I'm going to have to go Detroit and Houston.
Yeah, there's a reason why it's easy to say Houston's the worst team in baseball. I think it's pretty much a lock that Houston is the worst team in baseball. And with Miami still around, too, the Marlins, that's incredible how bad Houston has gotten. Miami's still there. They're still playing baseball, you know, tangentially. But Houston is so bad. You're right. I don't quite know what their plan is either. I think they're going for the Cub plan of completely tearing down, you know, the whole major league roster and just making room for anybody decent, any decent prospect they have, to have a clear path right up to the major leagues and contribute and be there for many, many years. The problem is I don't know how many great prospects they have. You have to really hit home runs, so to speak, on those draft picks that you get over and over again every year. And I don't know if that's really happening for Houston. I know Mark Appel is supposed to be great, the minor league pitcher, but you look at the Cubs plan, and they have so many prospects, several prospects in the same position even, that are just stacking up and getting ready to make their move, and everyone agrees that in a few years they should be a very formidable ball club. No one's saying that about Houston in a few years. I guess maybe you can try the same plan as the Cubs and just not be as successful with your prospects, and I think that's what Houston's doing right now. They're trying to be sort of the Cubs, but they're just not executing the game plan nearly as well. And as a result, they might be the worst team in baseball for a long, long time.
Yeah, and it's easy for me to see this from the perspective as a Cubs fan, being that their strategy up until the last few years, I mean, granted, I actually think they have a plan, and that was probably what they didn't have in the past. was they would throw money at over-the-hill free agents, people who were just names. Now what they seem to be doing is more of like talent accumulation and also reclamation projects. You know, they're buying low on guys and bringing them in, making it easy so that when they do bring up these guys too, that there's nobody really in the way for when all these prospects are ready. And by every measurable category, they have the most stocked farm system, where growing up as a Cubs fan, they always had that one guy who you always kept waiting for, and you'd always hear about this guy, and then he'd come up and he'd be a total bust. Well, now they've got 10 of those guys. So you know they're not all going to pan out. If they all pan out, they'll be great for a decade. But if you have 10 top prospects and three or four of them pan out, you're still going to be pretty darn good. And they finally are clearing out all this bad salary that they, you know, from Soriano and all these guys that they had signed. And it's just it's interesting to watch as a baseball fan, because you just it's not frustrating like it used to be, where you knew they were going to stink and be bad. Now you know they're going to stink and at least be trying, or that there's a goal in mind. So who's your best team?
I hesitate at Detroit, which you chose, for the same reasons that you stated, that they just seem to have this block that they can't get over the hump when September and October comes around, that they can go ahead and dominate that division because, well, look at that division. So you're not really doing much when you say you're dominating the AL Central, because good Lord, that's some crap teams there. And then when the playoffs start, it just seems to be something that they bump their head up against the wall and can't break through. That something seemed to be the closer situation for the last few years, because it's been pretty bad ever since Jose Valverde kind of broke down and stopped being good. They've just been going through some crap, and it has not looked good at all. They get Joe Nathan now from Texas. They bring him in. He's very aged, very veteran, a guy that you know you can rely on, but you still kind of look cross-eyed just because it's the Tigers, and they seem to be sort of cursed at the closer position the last few years. So you hope he stays in one piece, but you never know. He is, I believe, 38 or 39 years old. And also the shortstop situation with Iglesias going down. Whoever they get to play defense over there is not going to be nearly as good as Iglesias. So that also makes me worry about them, because they've got those pitchers that strike out a lot of people, but they also, you know, get a lot of contact between Max Scherzer and Verlander and Anibal Sanchez. That would scare the heck out of me, that they were relying on some great defense at shortstop after the last few years of Johnny Peralta over there at short, having to deal with that. And then last year, Miguel Cabrera at third. You talk about the worst defensive side of a field you could possibly come up with. That was it, and they still dominated the AL Central because, again, it's the AL Central. But even with that, I'd still hesitate to pick Detroit as the best team in baseball. I think if this Tigers team, as currently constructed, got to the World Series against either St. Louis or Washington in the National League, I think it would be hard-fought and a good series, but I would actually pick both National League teams to come out on top of them. I've got a little bit of a bias for St. Louis being down here in Memphis, which is their AAA affiliate. I've come to really appreciate the Cardinals, the way they do things, because they have so many minor league prospects that are, it's like they just keep filling in. No matter who gets hurt or goes down at the major league level, there's somebody down in the minor leagues that's ready to just step in and take their place and keep it rolling. And you've got a couple of, like, really highly touted prospects still yet to come that aren't even up yet. So I really respect them. And Washington, they've got it all. They know they've got what it takes. They've got the pitching staff. They've got offensive guys that are ready to break out and in Bryce Harper's case, become, like, superstars. I think he could be as good as anybody in the league in the next few years. They also have a closer situation because Rafael Soriano, I don't trust him at all. Now, did he leave or is he still with Washington? Actually, not sure.
No, and Soriano's still there, but you've got to figure that it's funny because the bullpen in front of him in Washington is so good. You know, I mean, Drew Storen, Tyler Clippard, all these guys, they are all so good setting him up. So you've got to figure if he just can't get the job done that they will have somebody in line. And it's funny that you brought up Washington because as silly as it is to make a prediction, Washington is my National League World Series team this year. I really do appreciate, you know, that's sort of what I would like to, you know, I'd like to think that this is what would happen for the Cubs in a few years, that you'll bring in these guys, bring up these minor league guys through the system, and then eventually combine them with talented players that you acquired from other places, and then it all just kind of comes together for you. And it seems like they're on that path. You know, Strasburg's healthy. Their pitching is four deep, which is what you need. That's all you really need when you look at a team and their pitching staff. You don't need to look at five. Nobody really cares about five. Sometimes not even four. If you've got three studs, you've got a chance. And that's why I picked Detroit, because they actually have the offense. They have basically the MVP on offense, a lot of guys around him, and they're very deep on the pitching side. But like we both pointed out, the bugaboo seems to be for them, the playoffs. But I like Washington a lot this year. I really do. I can't pick St. Louis. I know you like St. Louis, but I'm a Cubs fan. So I can't. It's like picking the White Sox. I can't do it.
No, I get it. I understand. Washington, the only reason I hesitate is because last year they basically spoke as if it was their birthright to go to the World Series. They saw the momentum that they built the year before, Bryce Harper's rookie year, and also the first year, I believe, of Gio Gonzalez coming over as a free agent, and having all that come together, they thought that last year would be the stepping stone, would be the next step, Davey Johnson's retirement year as manager. They thought it was all going to go in their favor, and it just didn't work out. They came out of the gate slow, they weren't able to recover in time, and they wound up missing the playoffs. And now Davey Johnson's out, Matt Williams takes over his first year managing. I have no idea how he's going to do. That's the reason I hesitate with Washington. It's just because I don't know mentally if they're still over the scars of last year, thinking that they were going to be a great team last year and be in the National League playoffs. And also the first year, last year, of that silly one-game wild card playoff, so more chances to be in the playoffs. Five teams in each league making the playoffs, and they still weren't able to make a playoff run. I don't know if they're ready to get over that yet, but we'll find out shortly enough. I'll go with St. Louis. For me, the best team in baseball. It's really close. I really respect, like I said, the way St. Louis does things. Their pitching staff looks like it's going to be killer, and their lineup continues to produce. And they've got a new closer now with Trevor Rosenthal, who looks like he's just going to be a flamethrower. And even if he doesn't work out, like I said, there's people ready to step in no matter what the situation. Jason Mott, who missed all of last year with Tommy John surgery, he'll be ready to step right in and close again. He'll be glad to take that job if somehow Rosenthal falters. So they just got people ready. And then Oscar Tavares, the outfielder, is down here in Memphis again. He's going to give it another go after last year having his ankle get messed up. I was actually at the game where he hurt his ankle, and I never saw it happen because he got a double. He got on base with a double. He didn't have any signs of limping then. He didn't have to run to score because he came around on a home run. And then the next thing I knew, he was being replaced the next half inning and didn't come back for 2 months. So I have no idea how he did it, but he messed his ankle up pretty good. So he's going to get started again down here, and if he performs in the first couple of months, they'll bring him up and find room for him at the major league level. There'll just be yet another piece to add. The Cardinals just keep adding pieces. So I would go with the Cardinals as my pick for the best team at the beginning of the year, and the team that I think will make the World Series against an American League representative that could be really anybody. It could be Detroit, even though Oakland plays baseball completely different than Detroit. It could be Oakland. I could see the Red Sox making another run. I could see Tampa Bay making a run because they always find a way to make a run. But I'll let you talk about the AL while I look it over and try to decide who I think I would pick for the World Series out of the American League.
Well, interestingly, I'm going a little bit of a dark horse here. I know we talked about it a little bit last week, so it's not, you know, I might have spoiled it for you last week after the show. Going a little bit of a dark horse here in the American League. I'm going with Anaheim. And that, you know, I'm going against what I had said before about being really deep with pitching. Anaheim is a team, the way that offense is constructed, they will just beat you over the head. And that seems to be a team with guys ready to go should some of the regulars falter. However, this is all going to come down to if the big hitters in that offense can stay healthy. It's not the youngest team, which seems to be the theme in the American League. You know, you have the Yankees and the Red Sox. You have a lot of old teams. Anaheim is one of those old teams. They need to win now because they're not going to get many more productive years out of Pujols and Josh Hamilton and some of these guys, and their pitching isn't getting any younger. Jared Weaver's not that young. C.J. Wilson's not getting any younger. So it's going to be really interesting, but I don't know why. Going through the spring here, watching this team, if their health maintains, and that you could say that about any team, if they can maintain their health, they can keep their players on the field. I really like Anaheim as a dark horse just because I think that those top teams in the American League, you know, somebody's got to emerge from that. I think there's a lot more, you know, top heaviness as far as the talent goes in the American League, but that's not always a good thing. A lot of those teams are going to beat up on each other, take each other out. People love Oakland. People love, you know, Tampa's always there every year. Baltimore's a good team. That's another one of those teams that I was debating about because they're one of those win-now teams as well. I can guarantee you that Seattle won't be there, but I would like to give Seattle the award for loading up on free agents and thinking they can buy themselves to a title. I think Toronto did it last year. It was Miami the year before, and I mocked the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFL the year that they tried to do it. It doesn't work. The dream team doesn't work. And when Robinson Cano was already complaining about the players around him in Seattle before the season even started, not a good sign.
Hey, here's a surprise, Robinson. The rest of your team sucks. I don't know how you didn't know that already.
Well, first of all, we know why he went there.
Because they paid the most moolah.
It's all about the money.
Oh, boy, yeah. Baltimore's has been there. They're trying to win now. They added Nelson Cruz, which I like, as long as they don't put him in the field. And Boston always scares me, but I think that pitching, I wonder, you know, how long that's going to keep up. Jake Peavy is, you know, no spring chicken. John Lester had his cancer scare. He's bounced back from that, but he always seems to have a month or two where doesn't have his best stuff. And the Angels, as far as your dark horse pick, I don't like that at all because I think they're building. You talked about the teams that try to spend money and win, and you usually don't go with that. Well, Josh Hamilton and Albert Pujols are in the middle of that lineup, whether they're good or not, and they haven't been good for the most part since they got there. So that's – you talk about hamstringing yourself. That is the definition right there. I don't think they're going to get any better, but that's just how I see it. If they do, like you think they will, you're right. That's a very formidable team, but I just don't think those old guys are going to rebound. I'm actually going to go with Detroit, despite what I said about hating their defense and their closer situation. So that's my World Series, Detroit and St. Louis. that brings us into our after show, where I guess we can talk about what the World Series would look like with our teams that we picked if they were to actually make it that far.
Yeah, I mean, I have an Angels-Nationals World Series, and you have Tigers-Cardinals. Haven't we seen this before?
Yeah, we have.
We're gonna see a lot of bunting Justin Verlander, I can tell you that.
Hey, so long, if they want to keep their defense bad, then that's how you're gonna beat them. Everyone knows how to beat them, and that's the way to beat the Tigers, is to make their defense field the ball. And as long as they don't improve it, that's what's gonna happen. They tried to improve it by getting the Iglesias kid, and then he winds up with double shin splints or double fractures of the shins or something like that.
Yeah, stress fractures in both shins, and oh my god, that just sounds. That doesn't even. Oh, just no. How do you even walk around with those? I mean, that's gotta hurt.
Sounds like something Kathy Bates would do to you in Misery.
But I gave my quick synopsis about the Cubs. What do you think of your White Sox?
Oh, my White Sox. You know, they can't be worse than last year, can they? They picked up a lot of new pieces because the pieces from last year were just complete crap. And so they get props just for that, just for going out and recognizing that it's a problem when you got, Paul Konerko just sticking up to join at first base and Gordon Beckham not doing any better at second. They looked like they were prepared to go into the season with him starting again, but he's actually going to start the season on the disabled list, which might be a blessing in disguise, because now they can stick one of their young infielders from the minor leagues and Marcus Semien over at second and see if he can do any better than Beckham. And I get a feeling if he starts out hot, Beckham might come back and find himself on the bench. So I'll give them props for just making some moves. And a couple of the moves, a couple of the guys actually seem like they might even be good. We know this big kid from Cuba, Jose Abreu. We know what he's going to bring to the plate, which is a lot of power. What we don't know is how much of that power he's actually going to be able to display by making contact with the baseball. There's no telling how he's going to adjust to the major leagues and get base hits. You can't hit, a home run every time you go up there. What's going to make him successful is if he can get base hits during off of those pitchers that won't throw him stuff that he can jack out of the park. You have to get hits off of the good pitchers, even off of pitchers' pitches. And we'll see if he's able to do that. There's really no telling. Looks good so far in spring, but I figured he would because there's so many pitchers that are just trying to get their stuff over the plate, not really even trying to pitch very good. They're just trying to hit the plate because they're just trying to make the team. So he's hit some mammoth home runs. He's done exactly what I thought he would do in the spring, which is show some prodigious power, but only time will tell if that'll hold up in the major leagues over a whole season. They got that kid in right field that they acquired from Detroit with the weird sounding first name, Avisail Garcia. Looks like he's got some skills, some power and speed combination, which is awesome. There hasn't been a lot of guys with that for the White Sox lately. For some reason, their guys have been all speed or all power lately. This guy might actually have a combo. We'll see how that works out. I just like the fact that they had to move some pieces around because they just saw how terrible they were last year. Now, it's up to Robin Ventura, the manager, to now be a little smarter as a manager and make it work in that respect, because you can bring new pieces in, but if the pieces are still being told to bunt with a runner at second and nobody out and just give up an out just to give him 90 more feet, just to get him to third base, which is so stupid. Nobody really does that anymore because it's pretty much been proven that you're less likely to have a big inning by doing that than you are if you just let the guys hit away and just keep not making outs. That's pretty much the way to play baseball. That's how all the smart teams do it. So the sooner they get Robin on that page and figuring that out, the better. But I like the improvements. I don't like them enough to say they're going to, you know, finish over 500 this year, but I do like the effort being made.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to say that at the best, that's a fourth-place team. I mean, I guess that's their ceiling. Detroit.
Yeah, they're probably not better than Kansas City.
Yeah.
Probably not better than Cleveland. Definitely not better than Detroit. So, yeah.
They have a real shot of being better than the Twins, though. A very real
that's
shot.
True.
Very legitimate shot. That Twins team, I contemplated naming them the worst team in the league. That team is going – no, they are – that Twins team is – and it's sad because that used to be the model team for how to put together a low-budget team that's going to compete, which they've been since taken over by Tampa. Who, you know, and Joe Maddon should win Manager of the Year every year with what he gets out of his teams with very little payroll. And that used to be the Twins. That used to be Ron Gardenhire and those guys going out there. I mean, sure, they'd get swept by the Yankees every year in the first round of the playoffs, but they'd win that division with regularity, and they are going to be something awful this year. That team won't be able to pitch or hit. It's going to be really, really ugly in Minneapolis, and it's a shame because from what I hear, they're playing in one of the nicest ballparks in the league. I got only a few hours from there. Still want to get over there and see some baseball, but wow, is that going to be some? That's going to be a hot mess over there in Minneapolis this year. Really, really bad. So your White Sox hit solid fourth place, but with the future, fourth place with pizzas, right? It's something. It's going to take a little while before they're going to be able to eclipse a few of the teams ahead of them, but at least it shouldn't be as bad as it was last year. I think that's what both of our teams, that's sort of the theme this year in Chicago, is at least it's not 2013. That should be the banner. It's not wait till next year. It's thank God it's not last year.
Yeah. Well, the pieces part is the most important thing that you mentioned there. It's the fact that there's, for the first time in a long time, there's minor leaguers that project to someday actually contribute in the major leagues. And your Cubs had that same problem for the longest, is their minor league guys were not going to come up and be major league stars. They were being touted just because they were better than what was on the field, but they were going to come up and just kind of be guys. And the White Sox had guys that were going to come up and just be guys. And even the guys that were going to come up and do something like Gordon Beckham came up and were just a guy. And so finally, there's some minor leaguers down there that project to come up to be something more than just a guy. And, of course, as we know, that's the only way you can win. You can't go out and buy a title, as you've already stated earlier in the podcast. So you have to have guys that project to come up and be major contributors, not just guys. And if the Sox can, you know, amass enough of those, just like the Cubs are trying to do, and we think the Astros, although they're not doing a good job of it, if they can amass enough of those pieces that come up and actually produce, and they'll one day be a contender once again.
You know, it's funny because people want to rip on the Yankees for all those years that they were, quote-unquote, buying the title. And they were to a certain degree doing that. But they were adding parts to a team that was brought up through its own system. And then they were adding to that. They didn't just buy all the parts. They didn't just accumulate all these players through trades and by throwing all the money at these free agents. They had a solid core of guys that came up, realized they had something, and then threw every last available resource out of George Steinbrenner's pocket at these guys. So they didn't necessarily just buy titles because they couldn't farm their players. I mean, later on, at the end of it, they couldn't farm anything because they had nothing left. And that's when they were stuck just throwing money at the problem, and that's when they started to fail, and that's where they are now. And they're just a very bad old team. But you got to have the guys
really,
who come up through your system to start.
Yeah, they really only bought one title. That last title they won a few years ago when A-Rod finally decided to perform in the World Series for the first time in his career. But those other titles that they won at the beginning of the century, the three in a row that they did, those guys were mostly homegrown. They weren't really buying titles then. There were some high-priced free agents that they got to fill in where they had holes on the team, but the main parts of the team, Andy Pettit and Mo Rivera and Jeter and Jorge Posada and Bernie Williams and Paul O'Neill, those guys are already from the minor leagues. They didn't pay money to bring those guys in. What they paid money to fill in around was, I'd tape all the World Series and go back and watch sometimes and the NBA Finals and the Super Bowl as well. I was surprised recently watching one of those old World Series, one of those old Yankees World Series, to see that their DH platoon back then for one of those World Series was from the right side, Cecil Fielder, and from the left side, Daryl Strawberry. And I really don't have a recollection of either one of those guys as Yankees, but they were just filling a role. They were just filling around what they already had. And when they started paying those big free agent dollars to guys like Randy Johnson and Jason Giambi, as the years went on, that's when they started not winning the World Series. That's when they really went downhill, is when they actually were trying to buy a title, because, of course, that doesn't actually work.
So you promised a rant, and I need to hear it.
It's a small one. Black people, what the fuck's up with these names? Stop naming your kids stupid shit. I thought that the NBA and Major League Baseball had cornered the market on really stupid names, because just tonight I'm watching the Miami Heat, and I'm reminded that they got a guy running around named Dwayne Wade, whose name is actually spelled Duyane, because for some reason the Y is in front of the A in his name, but it's still pronounced Dwayne. So his mama can't spell. Okay. Before that, we had Antoine Jameson, whose name was not spelled Antoine, it was spelled Anton, because the A was in front of the W, okay? His mama can't spell. And then I thought, actually, in baseball, somebody had come along 10, 12 years ago, former Indian, former Tiger, and this year, for the first time, a St. Louis Cardinal, the starting shortstop. I thought he had taken a cake. His name is Johnny Peralta. But his name has got the H in front of the O. It's spelled J-H-O-N-N-Y, but it's still Johnny. So Johnny Peralta, from wherever he's from, I think he's Dominican. I thought that had taken the cake. And then the big dance started, the NCAA college basketball tournament. And, Jason, have you seen in print the name of the center for Louisville, the top prospect, big guy center named Montrezl Harrell? Have you seen his first name in print anywhere?
I have not.
What would you say if I told you that there was an L in his first name, Montrez?
I'd say that needs to be in a sports spelling bee, because you will be done.
There is an L at the end of his first name, and I have absolutely no damn reason why, but we got to do better. Montrezl? What is that? Why is there an L at the end of Montrez? That makes zero sense. We got to do better, people. This is one of my pet peeves, to stupid, ignorant names that look really dumb when you write it down on paper, and yet we continue to do this to our kids, and I do not know why.
You know, and it was so innocent when we were growing up making fun of Sean Dunstan with an O in his name.
Shawan, that's right. That might be the original.
Oh, yeah,
my.
You had to give that one. I don't think I could have given that speech, so bravo. We already went
through
this with Jameis, Winston, too, didn't we? Jameis?
That's right. When you saw his name, you couldn't believe what you were seeing there, because you had no idea how to pronounce that, and I don't blame you.
It's been fun. What's our next show?
Yep, we are out of here. Our next show is Monday night WrestleMania preview.